See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on. A man would think it a tragedy. Break the chains of sin's captivity.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mrs. Garner. If you don't know it, that's one of my very favorite special songs. I love it. I thank God for it and for the message that it preaches, it teaches, and what it means to me. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. I want to bring a very unusual message this morning, not a normal Sunday morning type message. But because I don't get everybody back here on that here Sunday morning on Sunday night, I'm going to preach it this morning. Now, while you're finding your place in Romans chapter 1, let me say to all of the ladies that participate in providing refreshments for the juvenile ministry. Tonight, after the evening service, in the Faith Bible classroom, I want to meet with you for just a few minutes. For just a few minutes. That's every lady that works at providing refreshments for the juvenile ministry. And it won't take long, but it's very important that we talk for just a few moments as we make preparation to strengthen our ministries. Romans chapter 1, stand if you will, and we shall begin in verse number 16 and read the remainder of this chapter. Now, may I say to you that I believe the Bible is the divinely inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God. I believe it is the final rule in all matters of faith and practice in our Christian life. It tells us what's normal for a person's life and what's perverted in a person's life. It gives us God's moral standard for where we should live. And I want to begin tonight, today in verse 16, and read the remainder of the chapter for you, and I want you to listen on purpose, because it is power-packed. It possesses a warning for our day, not just in the secular world or in the ungodly part of this world, but in our churches and among Christians also. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein," in the gospel, "therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold not the truth in righteousness." So departing from the truth not only produces error, it produces unrighteousness. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now notice, the Bible says, you can look at nature and creation and understand that it wasn't an accident, it wasn't a big bang, it wasn't something that evolved, but God created it by His own power and by His own hand. And He said, you can look and know that there is a God just by the marvel and the miracle of what you see that's been created. So that they are without excuse. Now, nature does not teach us the way of salvation. But nature teaches us that there's a God in heaven. It's our job to teach the way of salvation. I'm talking about the church's job, the Christian's job. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things." Man has always been trying to take the holiness and the divinity away from God and bring Him down to man's level and lower. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who, changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now I want to go back up, and I want to emphasize the statement in verse number 20, so that they are without excuse. So that they are without excuse. Father, help me today to take this passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture that's not believed by everybody that says they're saved, a passage of Scripture that's rejected by much of religion today, but yet it is a part of the inerrant, unchanging, preserved Word of God. And a man is a fool, a woman is a fool, not to heed it and not to believe it. Help us, Lord Jesus, today to bring this message in such a way to cause each of us to look at our own life and make sure that we've not made these same mistakes. It stands to reason that if we make the same mistakes these people have made, that the end result in our life is going to be the same as the end result in their life. And I don't want to be turned over to a reprobate mind. I don't want to be turned over to vile affections. I don't want to be turned over, dear God, to dishonor You and dishonor my family. I don't want to stand before You in judgment for foolish things that You make so clear in the Word of God. So help us today to not only hear but receive Your Word and give it a lodging place in our heart and life and use it to direct us day by day as we try to live and grow and serve our Savior. Now, Father, there's some people here today that are unsaved. They need to come forward today and let us show them how they can accept Christ as their personal Savior. Help them to understand if they don't get saved, there's not one chance in 10 billion they'll make it to heaven. They're condemned already and facing eternity in hell without God and without hope. Help us to understand that You've promised to save all that will come unto You. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save every unsaved person in this building. Then, Father, there are people here today who have been saved and need to come to follow You in baptism today. Help them to obey You. Help them not to look for excuse or make excuses, but to obey what You tell us is right to do after we get saved. Some are seeking Your leadership about a church home. Help them to understand where we stand and for whom we're serving and standing. Lord, if they believe this book, and they love You and they want to serve in a place where they can learn and grow, would You give them direction according to Your will? Now, Lord, we ask for Your filling, Your power, that we might preach this message in simplicity, but that it might be profound and effective as it reaches our heart and our mind. And we'll thank you for the results in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. By his nature, fallen nature, man is a maker of excuses. Man was created in the likeness and the image of God, but because of his sin nature, he seeks to excuse and lower himself to the hog pens of sin. Man is made to walk in fellowship with God, but seeks rather to excuse himself, to hide and walk in this world of sin and wickedness. Whether it was Adam in the Old Testament who used Eve for an excuse, as an excuse for his sin, or the three people who were invited to attend the Great Supper in Luke 14, with one consent, they all began to make excuse. Whether it be you or me ignoring the Word of God and the will of God for our life, we began to make excuses why we don't obey God and live for God. Look at what God said about excuses. The Bible says they were without excuse. Now, what is an excuse? Vance Havner said an excuse was not a reason. An excuse was a lie dressed up in the skin of a truth. A reason gives us a basis for what we do, for our actions. For a person says, "Preacher, I couldn't be at church last Sunday. I was in the hospital." That's a reason. Some of you are going to call me this week and say, "Preacher, I'm feeling kind of puny. I think I need to stay home Sunday." And all you're doing is making excuse to watch the Super Bowl. It's just a lie dressed up in the skin of a truth. An excuse is given to remove the blame or the guilt from a person for their actions. It's trying falsely to justify our wrong actions. A person who yields to the Word of God, they don't make excuses, they yield to the Word of God, ends up with salvation. They experience God's grace and God's mercy. A person that lives by the Word of God without trying to excuse it ends up with joy and peace in their life. They end up with victory and blessing. However, the maker of excuses is one who rejects God's Word and rejects God in order to live a perverted life. Now listen to me, anything that is contrary to what God says is the normal is perverted, okay? Anything that's contrary to what God says is normal is perverted. And yet, men and women today are living in perversion and making excuses for it, saying God made them that way, or that they're Christians, they just see things differently. Any person who rejects Christ and His Word excuses himself by accepting a perverted substitute. A perverted substitute. My message is very simple. I want to give out some very plain thoughts to you this morning from the Word of God. Thought number one. When man excuses himself from Christ and salvation, he accepts a perverted religion. When man excuses himself from Christ and salvation, he accepts a perverted religion. Look, if you will, because that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became vain in their imagination, their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, notice, they didn't reject religion. They rejected God and His Word, and they decided to prepare and make their own God and their own religion. They professed themselves to be wise. I'm amazed at the people today that think in order to know the Word of God, you've got to read it in Greek and Hebrew, and then they don't even believe it. They condemn it and criticize it and say, God ought to say it. God should have meant, or God really meant. Let me tell you, if God wanted to say what He really meant, He's God and He can say what He really meant. And I believe He did right here. A man's a fool. When you turn away from Christ, the best you can do is to be a hypocrite, a pretender. You may pretend to be wise, but you're a fool, the Bible says. You see, the normal thing for God's will in our life is that we as sinners accept Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross, as our Savior. That's the will of God. That's the way heaven planned for us to do it after Jesus, because Jesus died for us. Now, when we reject Jesus, the best we have is a perverted religion. A religion without promise, a religion without hope, a religion without a future. Notice the word changed in verse number 23. Changed. Boy, man's in for changing things. They changed in verse 23. The glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man. They changed. Appears three times in verses right here together. Changed. I don't like change. I don't like for my wife to change the furniture in our house. It just messes me up big time. I hate it when pillows get old and you have to change pillows. Man, I hang on to it as long as I can. I don't like change. But when it comes to the Word of God, I refuse to change. What kind of a man would say, I know better than God? I'm wiser than God. You see, by faith we accept it because God said it, and that settles it. Perverted religion can only produce perverted people. Perverted religions can only produce perverted people. Beware of changing truth to suit yourself. Beware of trying to change God to man's level. Best you have to look forward to is God's judgment. God's judgment, just like God brought judgment on their unrighteousness and ungodliness. Don't you be so foolish to think you're different. When you excuse yourself from accepting Christ as Savior and His salvation, the best you can have is a perverted religion. And after that, it's hell. You say, but what makes you think my perverted religion, my kind of religion, can't get me to heaven just like yours? Because it's not of God. You've rejected Christ. You've turned away from Jesus as the Savior and the only Savior. God made it very plain in the Word of God that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way. He's the only way for a sinner to be saved. And when we try to have religion without Jesus and without the Bible, we have become a part of a perverted religion. And by the way, there are churches all over this country practicing perverted religion. They've turned away from the Word of God. They turned away from the God of the Word of God. Secondly, when man excuses himself from God's Word, he accepts a perverted Bible. When you excuse yourself from the Word of God, when you start saying, well, the Bible doesn't really say that, it doesn't really mean that, here's what it ought to say, and you start correcting the Word of God, then you're the person that's going to take hold of the perverted Bibles. The perverted Bibles. Look at verse 25. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped the creature and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. A perverted Bible. By the way, the devil's Bible is the Word of God that's been changed. The devil's Bible is the Word of God that's been changed. If they can change the teaching of salvation, if they can change it from faith in Jesus Christ alone and change it to believers' baptism, they perverted a fundamental doctrine of the Word of God. Now, who in the world would be behind that? The devil. The devil. So, they changed the truth into a lie. They've rejected the truth to accept a lie. Let me say again, the definition of an excuse is nothing but a lie dressed up in the skin of a truth. This is one of the signs of the last days. The Bible says in the last days, they'd believe the lie. 2 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 said this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." In chapter 4, verse number 3, it says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they have turned away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Oh, beware, beware of the change of the Word of God. Beware of denying the book. Beware of saying, "I don't believe that." Beware of saying, "Well, God hadn't convicted me of that yet, so I don't believe it." If God's put it down in the book, it's God's Word, and we must believe it. Not to believe it is to reject it, and to reject it leads us to a perverted Bible. And the Bible is the authority for everything we believe and practice in our Christian life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thirdly, when man excuses himself from God's standard of holy conduct, he accepts a perverted moral standard. When man excuses himself from God's standard of holy conduct, he accepts a perverted moral standard. Look at verse number 24. "Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Look at verse number 26 and 27. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was not meet." They rejected God's holy standard of conduct. They accepted a perverted moral standard. Notice again, there's the word change. They changed the image of God. They changed the Word of God. They changed the moral standard of God. Beware of changing those things which God said are not changeable. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The Bible says His Word is settled in heaven. Oh my, how we need to avoid those who are making those changes. Not only avoid changing the Word of God for ourselves, but avoid those that are changing the Word of God. I don't want to buy one of their perverted Bibles. I don't want to fellowship with them. See, my daddy taught me, if you play with skunks, you're going to get skunk on you. And if you start playing with those that are involved in perversion, whether it be in the Word of God or in moral conduct, you're going to get perversion on you. The result is human perversion. And just let me get down to the nitty-gritty of it here. And he's saying the changing of the glory of God and changing the Word of God and changing the standards of God ended into such perversion, it was homosexuality. And man says today it's just a sickness. But God says it's sin, it's perversion. It's perversion. Fourthly, when man excuses himself from a personal relationship with God, then he begins to make perverted decisions about life. When man excuses himself from a personal relationship with God, and if you're going to have a personal relationship with God, then you're going to have a personal relationship with His Word. And without that, you'll start to make perverted decisions in life. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Boy, it's a bad place when we get to the place where we don't want to think or talk about God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. Now listen. What God is saying is when we begin to make these changes in our relationship with God and keeping God in our heart and our mind, staying in the Word of God and letting it be the guide for our life, when we turn away from that, then we turn to a perverted lifestyle. Now, I said at the beginning of this message, God's plan and will for us, His normal plan for us, is that we might be redeemed and have a personal relationship with God and live to fellowship and glorify Him. But when we turn away from God and we don't have that personal relationship with God, the flesh, depraved flesh, begins to rule. And depraved flesh pulls us into all of these things mentioned here in verse 29, 30, and 31. Beware when you don't like to think about God. Beware when God is no longer on your mind. And all of these things in verse 28, 29, and 30 are on your mind. You've just taken the step out of what God planned us to be. And you're making choices that are going to take you into a perverted lifestyle. I say again, to change from God's natural or normal is to go into perversion. For instance, the normal is for man to trust God and love God and worship God. Have a relationship with God. That's what God's normal plan for man is. That's the reason He gave His Son to make it possible. And when we turn away from that, then we choose that which is against God, and that which is against God is a perverted life and a perverted lifestyle. Man without God is perverted because you're not what God intended for you to be. And this perversion leads not on in the area, it goes on not only in the area of spiritual and religious things, but the normal thing for sinful man is to accept Christ as Savior. Not to do so is to live your life outside of God's plan and design. As I said, that's perverted. And this perversion goes on into every area of our life. God's plan was that we be honest and forthright in business. But if we reject God and His Word, man will cheat and scheme and lie and steal and become a used car salesman. Man's sexuality is to be bound up with a woman in holy matrimony. To involve oneself into sexual activity outside of the marriage of a man to a woman in the bonds of holy matrimony is perversion, whether it be adultery, fornication, or homosexuality. It's not God's normal. And then lastly, a man's excuses always leads him to judgment. You can make all the excuses you want, but you can't excuse yourself from that day where you've got to stand before God with your life. And in that day, God's not going to take the definitions of some educated person who pretends to know everything and has rejected the Word of God. Professing himself to be wise, he became a fool. God's not going to accept what he says as fact. God's going to judge us by his book. Now, this same Bible we read here, I believe, is preserved and in heaven. He tells us in the last days there's one that will judge us. He said, "My word shall judge you." It would be wise if we'd learn to accept God's word down here and learn to live by God's word. Because without it, we're going to face God unprepared with nothing but condemnation and judgment. Don't you for a moment think you can reject the Word of God and reject the Savior God has provided and go your own way and live your own lifestyle and stand before God and hear Him say, "I'm so proud of you. Well done." No, He's going to say, "Thou fool, depart from me. I never knew you." We need to get back to the Word of God. We live in a world today that does not know morality. There's no moral standards of conduct because we've rejected the Word of God. We've thrown the book out of government. We've thrown the book out of business. We've thrown it out of our schools. Our colleges are not bastions of Bible knowledge. They're haters of the Word of God. Somewhere somebody's got to cry out, "Come back to the Bible. Come back to the God of the Bible. Come back to the Savior God has provided. For in Him there is salvation. In Him there is forgiveness. In Him there is hope. In Him there is life. In Him there is a future beyond this life that we can look forward to without fear or dread or shame." Father, that's my message. Speak to our hearts.